Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online. If there's something you'd like to talk about, this is your best opportunity. Give us a call. We'd love to address your Bible question at 844-322-2742. That number is good, of course, in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Righteousness is our subject, and we're going to start today's discussion of that with a question that Paul raised in Romans 6:15. What then are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? And that is one of the questions that every critic of grace raises. So what are you saying? So we can just go out and do anything that we want? This forgiveness, we've been forgiven of all of our sins, so it doesn't matter, just go do whatever? Well, that's a misunderstanding of the teaching of righteousness. When we have been made righteous in the sight of God, that means something has happened inside of us, and so that we can now obey God from our hearts. And that's exactly Paul's argument here. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you were once slaves of sins, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. So it's in the heart that belief finds its home. So when we hear the message, faith comes by hearing the message, and that puts about faith inside of us. And it's a belief in the heart. We confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. So there's a righteousness that has been imputed and imparted to our very hearts. This heart that was once an unbelieving heart, that was hard and calloused toward the Lord, has become softened and now is a believing heart. And that's what righteousness really is. It's a heart that believes God, that trusts in the righteousness that has been imputed to it. That's how we can obey from the heart. So as believers in Christ, we've been severed from that relationship with sin and death. Sin is no longer our master. We have died to sin. We've been raised to walk in the newness of life. What does that newness of life look like? It looks like obedience from the heart. And that's how all of us live. So when we get in situations in life, and there's a lot of tough situations, what is God's Spirit telling our heart to do? To trust Jesus, to cast our cares upon Jesus, to not be anxious about everything, but through prayer and supplication, to make our requests known unto Jesus. That's what the Spirit is telling our hearts to do, and our hearts begin to believe and to trust. And that's when this Christian life really starts to make sense to us. So this teaching on righteousness is the answer to Paul's question. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. We have been made righteous in the sight of God, and that means we can obey God from the heart and allow righteous living to flow through us.
And that's a good place to be. And we welcome you to Basic Gospel, everybody. We have plenty of open lines at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or something you'd like to discuss. Good opportunity right now. The lines are wide open at 844-322-2742. In the meantime, a question from an anonymous writer in the New Orleans area. The question is, if the Holy Spirit is withdrawn during the tribulation, how are people saved during that period of time?
Well, they're going to be always saved exactly the same way they've been saved throughout human history, by grace through faith in Jesus. There's never a time where salvation is been given any other way than that. And so the Holy Spirit, he's always going to be active. And if people are going to be saved, I'm assuming that he's going to have a hand in that.
Yes.
So what that means that he's going to be withdrawn, we don't know exactly what Paul is saying in that passage, and I think it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 on into 2 Thessalonians chapters 1 and 2. But we know that if somebody's going to be saved, the Holy Spirit has to do the sanctifying work, the setting apart unto the blood of Jesus, so that, you know, God's choice to save through Jesus can be made real in a person's heart.
Yeah.
That's the way we're saved. That's the way it's been since the beginning. That's the way it is now. That's the way it will be in the future.
We appreciate hearing from our listeners, of course, Bob and Richard, who write to us by email. And if you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, we encourage you to drop us an email. If you have a question or something you'd like us to discuss, you can address us at bob@basicgospel.net. Again, that's bob@basicgospel.net. Again, open lines, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Question from Steve, who writes to us from Franklin, Indiana. He says, my church teaches a mixed message of salvation. What is taught is that we're saved by God's grace alone through faith in Jesus Christ alone. But once you're saved, you're then taught that you must maintain your own salvation by works and obedience to the Lord's commands, or you could lose your salvation. What's your take on that?
Well, my take is get away from that church. Go find a church that teaches the gospel in its fullness. That once Christ saves, that's an eternal salvation. He saves us completely. There's no turning back. I think a church that teaches what this church teaches is thinking that salvation is nothing more than forgiveness of sins. Mm-hmm. So we get forgiveness up to that point by grace, and then from that point forward, we have to live by human effort.
Yes.
That is a mixed message. That's trying to pour new wine into an old wineskin. You're going to lose both. It's just an impossible place to be in. So if you're a new creation in Christ, you have a new heart, a heart that wants to trust, a heart that wants to obey, and just live in that trust. That's what it is, by grace through faith in Jesus. Just as you were saved, this is how you live, by grace through faith in Jesus. There's no way that you can lose your salvation. God is not going to reverse the work that he has done in your life. And that's what we have to come to grips with. What was that work? It was more than forgiveness. He did that through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But at the point of salvation, the moment that we are saved, we go from death to life. That's the born-again process. Well, we're not going to become unborn. That just isn't going to happen. Christ comes to live inside of us. We have the Holy Spirit. We have been sealed forever. And God did that sealing, and no one is going to break that seal. We have been marked as one of God's people. We have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that name will never be blotted out. That's the assurance of salvation we have. And if you want to take it a step further, we've been placed in Jesus' hands, and no one can snatch us out of his hands. And Jesus' hand has been placed in the Father's hand. So we're in the Father's hand, and no one can snatch us out of the Father's hand. We are safe and secure in Christ. It is a by grace through faith in Jesus proposition from start to finish.
And as Bob Christopher says, period, the end of story.
Yes.
Well, it's Basic Gospel, everybody, 844-322-2742. Plenty of open lines. Again, 844-322-2742. Well, of course, we have a wonderful trip coming up to
Israel. When you walk the same ground as the patriarchs Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, something indescribable happens. When you stand where King David, the prophet Elijah, and the apostle Paul stood, something unspeakable takes place. Israel. You'll experience the Garden of Gethsemane and visit the house of Caiaphas. You'll walk the Via Dolorosa, the footsteps of Jesus to Golgotha, the place of the cross, the place of the skull. You'll visit the Garden Tomb, the burial place of Jesus, and the place of his resurrection. When you see, touch, and smell the locations where the Lord Jesus himself lived, ministered, and prayed, you'll realize that no other place on earth can deliver such an experience. No other investment one can make offers so much in return. Israel, February 2017, with Basic Gospel. Click events at basicgospel.net for all information.
going to be the trip of a lifetime.
Yes, it will, and we sure hope a lot of people will come and join us. We have a limited amount of spots available, 40. We're over 25% of those spots have already been taken. So if you're interested in coming to Israel and seeing that land, walking where Jesus walked, and viewing it through the lens of the new covenant, and that's going to be a distinguishing mark of this trip. We're not just there for history, although that's going to be a part of it. We're just not there to just look at different Bible stories. We're there to see how this story unfolded through the lens of the new covenant. When Jesus died, he ushered in that new covenant. We are new covenant believers today. And I think when we go to Israel and see it in that way, the Bible will come to life even more. It will just put a trip to Israel on a different plane, compared to everything else. So come join us. Be a part next February, February 7th through the 18th.
Click events at basicgospel.net. All the information is right there. Well, again, open lines 844-322-2742.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to Mansfield, Texas, and talk to Francisco, listening to us on the Word. Hi, Francisco.
Hi. God bless you guys. My question is, why the church in general allowed this small group of persons sue a church, a park, a city, because they get offended when they see a cross? I mean, I understand that there's a small group, brand new group, and the church are in millions of members. So why they spiritualize the whole situation and tell everybody, oh, they thought they'd care of it. They got the gospel in control. I mean, I understand that God is powerful and mighty, but at the same time, God wants you to fight because he's going to give you the victory. So why the church in general let those insecurities you guys do what they do, sue cities, parks, and schools for praying and because they get offended when they see a cross?
Well, Francisco, you know, that's kind of the world we live in today. And certainly the church, and I write about this in my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, has become anemic in society. And I think the reason that we've become that way is because we've lost our first love. We have forgotten the work of Jesus through his death, burial, and resurrection. And we have politicized Christianity. We have made it a thing of celebrity. We've tried to make it more relevant, more like the culture, instead of being the group of people that we really are, separate aliens, foreigners in this land, citizens of heaven. We've lost our mandate to be ministers of reconciliation, ambassadors of Christ, ministers of the new covenant. We've substituted all sorts of things for those particular mandates. And as we have, we've lost our say. We've lost our voice in the culture. And we've come to a point where these things, you know, we don't want to fight for them anymore. We've become complacent. And that's
one of the main things that made me kind of sad and angry with the church, because they're nice guys, but I don't think we need a nice guy as a preacher or as a pastor, because the nice guys, they don't want to hurt people's feelings. They don't want to start something up. They don't want to fire out people. And like I said, I don't mean to be in respect with pastors, but I think they're full of air. Because they just try to be nice, portray niceliness. And as far as defending the Word of God, they sell out. They just... Yeah.
Well, Francisco,
especially in Dallas, we got a bunch of nice pastors, but that's about it. I mean, niceness is not going to get you to heaven.
Well, Francisco, I think we need some men and leaders and ministry leaders, men and women, who will simply do what the New Testament says, testify to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, lift him up, and allow the Spirit to draw all men unto Jesus. If we'll have the guts and gumption to do that, we're going to see a difference take place in this world around us.
Absolutely. Well, Francisco, good to hear from you. Thanks for calling. Hope you keep listening and call again. And friends, as our thanks for your gift in April, we're going to send you our special combo pack containing Bob Christopher's best-selling book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and the Companion Study Guide, the materials we're using for our Friday teaching editions of Basic Gospel. If you don't yet have yours, this is a good chance to help keep the good news coming on Basic Gospel and take advantage of this month's offer at the same time. You can get your combo pack today by calling 844-412-2742, again, 844-412-2742, or at basicgospel.net. Just click donate on any page, again, at basicgospel.net.
Yes, I hope many people will take advantage of that. That's a wonderful resource. We have a caller on the line that has a question, our responsibility once we are saved. I spent a lot of time in that book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, addressing that particular question. How is the Christian life really supposed to work? What does it look like to walk by faith in Jesus Christ? How is that expressed in our day-to-day living? What does it mean to be free in Christ? We in America today are simply saying freedom is the freedom to choose. It's the freedom to choose whatever, whenever, with whomever. And I think as we read the Word of God, we see that real freedom, our freedom in Christ, is about the freedom to choose Him, the freedom to trust Him, the freedom to grow in our knowledge of Him, the freedom to grow in the grace of God. That's what real freedom is. Yeah. And so I spend a lot of time talking about that. That's why we want to put this book in as many hands as we possibly can to answer that question. How is the Christian life really supposed to be lived? So with that, let's go to Nelson in New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Nelson.
How are you doing today?
We're doing super. How can we help you?
Yes, this is related to the, not the question before I called, but the one saved by grace. In my complete understanding is the Lord has done all the work for us. And once we're saved, the statement was, and the statement is called in the Bible, you're not lost once you're in the Lord's hands. But that takes us to a responsibility of ours. We are supposed to be in obedience. And being obedient obviously takes an effort and takes a lot of work. And that's the part that I just want a clarification. We are not saved by works, but by grace. But being obedient does take some part of our effort and work and trust in the Lord, being faithful in doing what we need to do.
Well,
so I just want a clarification.
Well, the effort, Nelson, and I think this is a good question,
yes,
and one we all need to talk about. The effort is in this, trying to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. So God's desire for us and the requirement that God has for us, if you want to put it in those terms, the disciples asked that question, what works do you require? And Jesus said simply this, the work of ministry is to believe in me. So our effort is to keep our eyes on Jesus in the midst of this sea of messages and confusion that is telling us everything else. So God wants us to keep our eyes on Jesus, to abide in Jesus, to trust Jesus, to walk by faith. And that's always going to come as a response to the grace God pours out on us. See, grace is not just a word that envelops that salvation experience. It's a word that saves us. By grace we are saved. And then it's a word that sustains us in our daily walk with Jesus. So as we continue to respond to the grace of God by faith, we're actually carrying out the responsibility that God has as far as we're concerned. That's what pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So as we respond by faith to the finished work of Christ, to the indwelling Spirit, then we can leave the results of that life, what it looks like, in God's hands. He's going to produce his fruit through us. He's going to lead us down the paths of righteousness. He's going to teach us to say no to sin and yes to the godly living. He's going to shape us in such a way that we become eager to do good. He's going to conform us into the image of Christ Jesus. All he's asking us is this: are you willing to trust me? Are you willing to trust me on a day-to-day basis? That's what takes effort, because that is unfamiliar to us. We had no idea what faith was like as lost people. That was a foreign concept. That was a other world concept. That's a heavenly thing. And when Jesus came and entered into our lives, that's grace. He showed up. We respond to him by faith. He is always the object of our faith, and keeping our eyes on him in this world of darkness that we live in requires a bunch of effort, and it's the most courageous thing any person on this planet will ever do.
Yeah, there are times when I think we confuse the effort of physical labor with the effort of walking by faith. There are days when you're walking by faith, by grace through faith, that you'll feel like you've been sitting on the beach, kicked back, just having a vacation. There are other days when it feels like you just dug a ditch for 18 miles. That's physical work or physical rest. But in both of those contexts, at the end of the day, you are at peace with Jesus because you've been walking by grace through faith. If you get done with any particular day's work and you don't have peace, you can rest assured that it's because you or me, in this case, am working at it myself and trying to accomplish things that only Jesus can accomplish.
So it's by grace through faith. You're going to respond to the grace of God with that attitude of faith, with that attitude of reliance, with that attitude of dependence. And as you do, you're going to see the fruit of God's Spirit being lived out through you. And that's how God designed it. That's the way it works. Yeah. When we just settle in and say, Lord, teach me what it means to walk by faith, teach me what it means to abide in you, that's when we're going to see some incredible things happen in our lives and really get to watch this transformation and this renewing of our minds take place. So, Nelson, hope that helps. Thanks for your question today. We sure appreciate it. Let's go to Brooklyn and talk with Stephen. Hi, Stephen.
Oh, hi.
What's on your mind?
I love you. I just wanted to say I love Family Radio. I for years I've always read the Word, but recently, like 2 weeks ago, I actually submitted myself, and you know I know I'm saved. I submitted myself to Christ, and now when I talk to people on the street, like people that know me. And I've gone to them, and I've, you know, and they'll say things to me like they thought I was the old person. And I tell them that I'm serving Christ, and they would laugh at me and say things about Christians and things like that. And I was curious, why do they do that? I mean, I thought, I don't know, I'm new. So.
Well, here's what Peter had to say about that. He said, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. So something's happened in you, Stephen. You no longer live to gratify the desires of the flesh. You want the will of God to take place in your life. And so he says, for the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. That may have been your lifestyle. And so with respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in that same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. Misery loves company. They want you to be a part of their misery, but you don't want to be a part of it. And because you don't want to be a part of it, they're going to malign you. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to mock at you. That's just the way it is. But that's not a bad thing. It shows that you are really, that God has really transformed you from the inside out. Well, we're out of time, Stephen. Thanks for your call.
Yes, indeed. And friends, time is running short as well for our special offer for this month of April of Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and its companion study guide for a gift. If you can make a gift right now, we would really appreciate your joining with us. Click donate on any page at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net, and the donate link is available on any page that you visit. Or you can call and talk with Billy at 844-412-2742. Either way, a great way to support Basic Gospel and take it. advantage of this very, very special offer as well. Well, we're out of time. For Bob Richard, the team, Bob Davis, God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.